And here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to this lovely day and also to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a wonderful weekend, and we also hope you can give us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're encouraging your participation in every way possible. We're hoping you will call in with a question or possibly an answer to one of ours. We'll be giving you two numbers here, and the first is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, there is a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. Our lines are open right now. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but we will get you on as soon as possible if you call up soon. So again, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Just to remind you, we'll be taking questions and giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and whatever Kira brought in. So just to remind you also of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER 1, and that is the numeral 1, not the word 1. So again, that is mindsovermatter1 at gmail.com. So we always read the emails. They don't get read on the show, because it's too complicated, but they all get read. So again, that's mindsovermatter1 at gmail.com. If you'd like to hear this show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world. I don't know if Sue and Lori did that, but probably not. Maybe when they were in Cardiff, because they said it was so boring.
Well, we had the Welsh translation of the show. The simulcast was
okay,
great.
Okay, good. Anyway, you can do that at kalw.org, and it's live stream there. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, the wonderful and talented Debbie Kennedy is here tonight. And she will, of course, do her usual fabulous job. And that podcast should be up soon after, and that will also be at kalw.org and iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. All that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Here's the first. Last week, Kira Pace said that you shouldn't pay $12 for polenta. What she actually said was that you should pay $12 for polenta. You must have misheard her.
Yes.
I thought I heard you say you shouldn't.
No. I'm pretty sure that I was misrepresented.
By Dana.
I think Dana just misread it. So clearly you should. You should be paying me $12
for
polenta.
You did not say it.
I think the Russians were involved with that.
Yeah. So returning from 2 weeks in Great Britain, Lori Fisher was pleased to find out that our show has a big following in Wales. So across there, I suppose, it's better known as Medalion Drysfodder.
You pronounce that very well.
No, thank you.
Now our big following Wales is left.
Yeah. No, that was Minds Over Matter Welsh. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, feels bad that he can't seem to get away from the baby blimp.
No. I'm referring to you.
Our
moderator, Dana Rodriguez, feels bad that I can't seem to get away from the baby blimp. That's correct. Right. First the one over London, and now the one that lives in the White House.
All right.
Yes.
That is us, and we begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
You know they're going to release a Trump chicken over the ocean.
The Trump chicken?
From San Francisco. Oh. Yeah, it's going to set sail.
Oh. Yeah. Interesting.
So, okay. Speaking as we are of such things. All right, here's a quick question for you. What is the most populous country in the Caribbean?
That depends what you mean by the Caribbean. Are you talking about the countries that are actually
off the coast of Mexico and Belize, before Bermuda, which does not officially count?
So no land countries are included in this at all. It has to be actually in the Caribbean.
Yes, island
Caribbean
country.
Caribbean island.
Uh-huh. Island country. Country is defined by the United Nations, one of the member countries of.
So is it Cuba?
It is Cuba.
There you go.
Yeah, nice. About 11 million people.
That's all? Oh, mm-hmm. I actually thought there were more than that.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Any more than that and it would tip over like Guam was in danger of.
Yeah, right. All right, give
according
us another
to question. The Georgia legislature. Okay. I am going to give you a line from a novel and I want, let's say six pieces of information from it. We'll do six. Okay. Here's the line. If you walk without rhythm, you won't attract the worm. I'd like to know the novel that's a line from, the author of that novel, the director of the movie that was made from that novel. That line was also featured in a hit song, so tell me the name of the song, who directed the song's video, and what movie this director won an Oscar for. So a lot of stuff attached to that one line.
So once we had locked a line, we'll get a lot of information.
Yes.
So say the line again.
Sure. If you walk without rhythm, you won't attract the worm.
The only thing that strikes me in that is the worm, mm-hmm. which makes me wonder if it's Dune.
It's Dune, yes. See, I knew you were going to get that part.
So Frank Herbert gets yes. the author
right.
of that.
That's right. So it's Dune is the novel. Frank Herbert
Very
is
nice.
The author. So now I need the director of the movie, the song it was in, the director of the song's video, and the
Well, David
Oscar.
Lynch is the
David
director.
Lynch. There you go. Halfway done.
He directed Dune, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, the 1984 version of Dune.
Right. Yeah. I don't think I can go much further than that.
The hit song it was in. Huh?
Yes.
Can you sing it so we could get a little bit of the...
No.
Okay.
How long ago was the song?
2001.
Right.
And David Lynch, I presume, did not direct the video.
He did not, no.
I don't know.
And if you'd like to answer that question, or if you have one of your own, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. And, Laura, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, some of my questions tonight and next time will be inspired by our trip. And the first one was, in the Scottish Writers Museum, they celebrate only three Scottish writers. Who are the three Scottish writers celebrated in the Scottish, and it's in Edinburgh.
Wait a minute. Did you say it was the Scottish Writers Museum?
Mm-hmm.
And there are only three writers in it?
They dedicated rooms to just three writers.
Okay.
Three.
All right.
Is one of them maybe the poet Robbie Burns?
Yeah. It is Robbie Burns. Get a bell for that one.
Yeah.
We Robbie Burns. Very nice.
Yeah.
And is one of them Robert Louis Stevenson?
It is. That's right. One of the other ones. Right. The Treasure Island guy. Okay, so we're looking for one more. Very good in the first two.
No. I just lost his name. Trainspotting. Is him a more modern writer?
I'm going to say it's not the Trainspotting guy is
okay,
what I'll
that's
say.
That's good because yeah. I seriously just lost
what
his
about
name as I opened my mouth.
What about Sir Walter Scott?
It is.
Oh.
Three
yeah.
for three. All right. Well, that was pretty easy.
Author of Waverly.
Yes.
And there are more towns in the United States named after that novel than any other.
That's right. You asked
as
that the
came
other
up.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Robert Louis Stevenson.
And that's why I know that.
Grew up there and then left and went to some of these Pacific islands.
Well, that's because he had tuberculosis.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll add one more literary question,
right.
which is a Nobel Prize question. And I was surprised to learn that eight people from Britain, England, have won the Nobel Prize for Literature. I want to know who they are.
All right.
There's some low-hanging fruit and some other ones.
I'll give the obvious one, which is Kipling.
Yeah, he was the first one.
Right.
1907.
Right. And I'll stop there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of low-hanging fruit, but I'm terrible at lists, so I'd have to think about it. I'm sorry.
Think about big-time British authors.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'll give clues later on. Anyway, so good job on the Scots. We got Robert Louis Stevenson, Robert Burns, and Sir Walter Scott. Very nice.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, yes. Heath, how are you?
Good.
So I asked a question before, but be interesting for your audience. What is the oldest FM station west of the Mississippi?
It's KALW.
Very good. Everyone should be aware of that.
You should get a bell.
Related. who built it? What company built it?
Don't know.
What company?
Westinghouse.
Company. They were in the news lately. They're having financial problems.
Wells Fargo?
No, forget Wells Fargo can go to hell.
General Electric.
Go ahead.
General Electric.
Yes, you're right.
Built KAW, huh?
Great American company. Okay. In relation to that, my friend, maybe some of you know him, his name is George Conklin. He actually played a role in creating the FM station that used to have the call letter KXKX. You know which one? KXKX-FM. It still exists today, but with a different name. KXKX. George Conklin is a minister in the Presbyterian Pacific School of Religion in Berkeley.
So is that KPFA?
No.
So we're looking for its other call letters?
Yes.
Its previous call letters or its current one?
Yeah. Current. It was the current. We're looking for the current. The previous call letter was KXKX. FM. Mm-hmm. Much closer to your home.
To my home?
Closer to your home.
No, we don't know.
But not KPFA.
We don't know.
No. KQED.
Oh.
KRE.
KQED FM was created by my friend, George Conklin. He's a great man. By the way, he used to have that show, was called, I forget the name of it. It was in KCBS. No, I'm KPIX. Was it on CBS? Was, what is it? Mosaic. Have you ever watched that show in the...
couldn't sleep.
Yeah, he's a great friend, great man.
And that always helps.
Played a big role in the radio scene in the Bay Area as well in the East Coast.
Yeah.
Okay, second question very quickly. Besides having great fun with Cleopatra, Julius Caesar stole something from Egypt was still used until today. He stole something big. Besides trillions of dollars later on, you know, when Octavia defeated Cleopatra Mark Antony. Julius Caesar stole something big from Egypt and called it for himself that the Egyptians have been using for 5,000 years and we use until today. What is it?
Are you talking about some form of technology or an actual object?
I bet it's a calendar, isn't it?
It is the calendar.
Oh.
Yeah. It is the calendar.
Right.
The so-called Julian calendar
right.
was invented 5,000 years before Julius Caesar even put his steps in Egypt.
Put his name on it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It is. It actually, what the Egyptian did, which was very clever, they used the star Cyrus that coincided rising at the same time as the rise of the Nile, and they divided the year into 12 months, 52 weeks, and 7 days a week. And then they found out there's four extra days each year. So they had, one extra day every 4 years. So they added that, and then in that one day every 4 years, it was a big holiday for Egyptians to go out and have great fun by the Nile. And this is really the origin of the what we call Easter today. The same exact date in March. That was the day the Egyptians used to have fun, and this was the holiday Easter was originated over 5,000 years ago. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Good show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Let me give you a couple questions here. I've been doing some little reading about treason this week. no particular reason.
Yeah,
it's just been coming up in the
where'd
news.
Where'd that come from?
Yeah, right. So I'm going to give you three names of people who are convicted of treason.
Oh. In the United States?
In the UK, and it could be in the U.S., mm-hmm. Wait a minute. I have to get back to you on that. Sorry. sorry about that. We just had a note coming in. Anyway, as I said, I'm going to give you the names of three people who were convicted of treason in either the UK or the US, and I want you to tell me what they're better known as. Okay? All right. Number one, William Joyce, Joyce. Number two, Eva Tuguri D'Aquino.
How do you spell D'Aquino?
D'Aquino. Eva Tuguri D'Aquino. Number three, Mildred Gillars, Gillars. These three people were convicted of treason. What are they better known as? Once more, number one, William Joyce. Number two, Eva Tuguri D'Aquino. Number three, Mildred Gillars.
Are these nicknames they have, like, you know, the great something, or is this like, they have an alias?
They're better known as an alias.
The middle
alias.
One is, it's Tokyo Rose, right?
Tokyo Rose. Yeah. That is Tokyo Rose.
So I suspect the other two will be kind of like that.
I mean, they'll go by another name.
Yeah.
So Tokyo Rose is Eva Tuguri D'Aquino. And any other? Well, I'll give you a guess if you want, Lori.
I don't know, so I have no guesses right now.
All right. Second question, probably more to Kira's liking.
Yay!
Who were the first Academy Award winning? Now, it could be in any acting category. First Academy Award winning actor and actress to voice a character on The Simpsons.
Oh.
who were the first Academy Award-winning actor and actress to voice a character on The Simpsons?
There's been many, huh?
Many.
Well, I know that Meryl Streep was pretty early on for Lovejoy's daughter.
Not Meryl Streep.
Okay, so earlier than that even.
I think these were both in the first season.
Okay.
Yeah, anything with The Simpsons is not. I look to Kira for her.
No, I'm super hazy on the first season. They don't show that very often because it's not very good.
I'm super hazy on the on all of it. I'm one of the only people on Earth who's never even seen one episode.
Really?
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh.
In class, I used to ask people to find somebody in class who had never seen an episode, and the students say, there is no such person. It was me. I am not.
Oh.
I'm not proud of it. It's okay. Just true. Yeah.
So once more, who are the first Academy Award-winning actor and actress to voice a character on The Simpsons? And
none of them were on the cast full-time. These are always just the drop-in kind of thing.
Right. And I'm going to give you the names of two people who are convicted of treason, one in the U.K. and one in the U.S. I want you to tell me what they're better known as. They're better known by their aliases. One is William Joyce, J-O-Y-C-E, and the other is Mildred Gillars, G-I-L-L-A-R-S. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Fran in San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hiya. This is a four-part question for you. I'm going to give you the name of the artist, the singer and or lyricist, and you give me the name of the song. The song, every song has the word young in it.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so I'm going to give you four artists. Rod Stewart, let me give you the four. Rod Stewart, Cat Stevens, Frank Sinatra, Maurice Chevalier.
Well, Sinatra's got bunches, like Young at Heart.
Yeah, Young at Heart is the
one,
obviously.
That's obvious. And
Rod Stewart's Forever Young.
For younger,
yeah.
Right.
Bell, yeah.
And who is the artist after Sinatra?
Maurice Chevalier.
Oh, boy.
They're either too young or too old.
No, it's Betty Davis.
I have to remember.
Is that Betty Davis?
Yeah, it's Betty. She introduced that song.
All right.
And
Cat Stevens.
So Maurice Chevalier. Yeah, you work on Cat Stevens.
Right.
You know it. It's in a movie.
Yeah, no doubt.
Young.
The other one is Cat Stevens.
Does the song begin with Young or just has Young in the title?
No, it's in the title.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not young anymore.
Yes.
From Gigi.
Yeah. You got. Yeah.
So
very
you still
good.
Need Cat Stevens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Nothing from Harold and Maude, anyway. Oh,
if anybody knows anything else, say it. I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Don't think we know Cat Stevens.
Cat Stevens, Oh, Very Young.
Oh, don't know it.
Oh, you know, I never knew that was actually the title of that song. That's the
I
first
hope it
word.
Is. I think it is.
It probably is.
That's my question. I'm going to give you one more quick one. Is who is the living member of the Temptations? That's the original classic Temptations. One living member.
Is David Ruffin?
No. Sorry.
He's the one I know.
Yeah, no,
I think that's
he's
the
dead.
Only one I know. Okay.
No,
well,
sorry.
Not him.
We don't know that.
It's Otis Williams.
Okay.
Ooh,
well, good for him.
Okay. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Okay, bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. and on for almost 25 years. And our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, and Lori Fisher, occasionally retired professor at Diablo Valley College. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Of course, the first FM station west of the Mississippi, as Eve was so kind to point out.
No.
And also, just the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. And Kira, it is your turn.
All right. So Epcot opened in 1982 and consisted of Future World, which we don't care about, and the World Showcase. What I would like to know, what are the 11 countries represented in Epcot's World Showcase, And then just to add an extra layer, there are 12 additional pavilions that Disney had planned to build. He had intended it for the World Showcase. So you can name those too.
I'm just going to say France.
Okay. As existing or intended?
Existing.
It is.
You want to get us 23 countries?
I've never been.
The France Pavilion is where John and I got engaged.
Oh, oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's very sweet.
I've never been to Epcot, so I'm not.
It was worthwhile until they turned it all into Disney princesses.
All right.
So I'm going to say England.
Yeah, for intended or actual.
I'm going to go intended.
Wrong.
Okay, the other one.
Yes, it's actually
I meant
there.
That.
Yes.
Okay.
How about Japan?
That is also one of the current pavilions, yes.
All right. Okay. All right, I'm just guessing.
And I'm going to guess Russia as one of the current ones, too.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Future?
Well, not future. I don't think.
Well, that's going to change soon.
They intended. Yeah, no, they intended to build one. They were going to put like a St. Basil's Cathedral, and they had an animatronic thing all planned called Russia Bells of Change.
Oh, I thought it was going to be animatronic Stalin, you know,
right?
Putting people in the gulag.
Well, we only have 20 to go, right?
Yeah, only 20 more. So, name a country. You're probably right, but yes, Russia is one of the intended ones. Was never built.
All right. And just ask the question once more, if you would.
Sure. In Epcot's World Showcase, what are the 11 countries that are currently represented? And we already have Japan, the United Kingdom, and France. And then I'd like to know the 12 additional pavilions that they intended to include but never did.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radul on the Carnero.
Hey, Big Radul.
I have a couple of Hollywood questions.
Okay.
So who holds the world record for longest career as a director? And how long was he a director from first film to his last film?
Is person still alive?
No.
Is it
no,
Alan?
He died in 1982.
Is it Alan Dwan by any chance?
No.
1982.
Is he part of a Hollywood dynasty?
He was pretty famous.
Does he have famous children or grandchildren in?
No.
How about King Vidor?
Got it.
Oh, nice.
And so, do you know the
who I met? By the way, I met.
Oh, really? Did you?
I did indeed.
Oh, that's good.
When he came to talk at UC once.
Can you guess that year in film? Of his first film and last film?
No, it must be in the very late teens.
Yeah.
And then the last big Hollywood film he did was in 59, I think. Or he did,
but you
Solomon
said
and Sheba.
He directed up until 82, you said?
No, he died in 82, and he actually, 1980 is kind of being generous. He directed a short called The Metaphor.
Oh, all right.
But his first film was in 1913 and was called Hurricane in Galveston. It was apparently about the devastating hurricane in Galveston.
That reminds me, I don't know if you ever read The Parade's Gone By by Kevin Brownlow. You probably have. But there's a great interview with him in there, and he talks about the Galveston hurricane. I didn't even think about that, how they got that that footage. And
I think I've got that book, so I'll have to check that out.
And anyway, so was that it? Or you had another question, right?
Yeah, I got one other one. What's unique about the movie The Long Riders?
The Long Riders. Is that the one with all the brothers in it? In other words, the Carradine brothers and the Keach brothers?
Right.
And
yeah. All the lead roles were brothers played by brothers.
Right.
And
is that the answer?
Well, that's the first part. The second part is naming who played who. So
yeah.
can you guess who played Cole Younger?
No. I only remember the brothers part. I don't know the movie that well.
Okay.
Wasn't Cliff Robertson in it, too? No, was it Cliff?
So who
no,
you?
I think you're thinking of the Great Northfield.
Oh, you're right. You're
raid.
Right.
So this is like the Keach brothers and the Quaids, people
yes,
like that?
So
right, the Keach
James
brothers
and Stacey,
played
Keach
Jesse and Frank James.
Right, and Keith and Robert, not Robert, but Keith and...
Well, all three of them, Cole, yeah. Jim, and Bob Younger. And then... Dennis Quaid and Randy Quaid played Ed and Clell Miller, and Christopher and Nicholas Guest played Charlie and Bob Ford.
Oh,
so,
Christopher
anyway.
Guest.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. Oh.
Okay, that's it for this week.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. And Lori, it is your turn.
All right. Well, when we were in Ireland and Wales, we managed to not be able to read Gaelic and Welsh, but with the, they had many familiar letters. So I looked up, and in the Gaelic alphabet and in the Welsh alphabet, they look a lot like ours, but there's letters missing. What four letters that in our regular alphabet are missing from both the Welsh and Gaelic alphabets?
Q.
Yes. Always a good guess. Q is the
I couldn't go wrong
Q
with that.
Q is the Utah of letters.
What about Z?
Z is another one.
Okay.
You guys are doing great on the...
There are no vowels missing.
They have all the vowels. They got extra vowels.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about J?
They have J. Yeah. I think the Gaelic is missing it, but the Welsh has it.
Our board op suggests X.
X, the board op got. Thank you, Debbie. So we're just missing one more.
What about W?
W they have.
Okay.
Oh, I should say this. Welsh has it. Gaelic doesn't.
Okay.
All right. All right. Give us another question because we answered most of that.
Okay.
And we'll leave that one out.
All right. I'll ask you a quick one. This one has been hanging around for a while. This is on my short list and has nothing to do with Wales or Great Britain. There's one person who is designated officially as the only beach girl. The Beach Boys have chosen one woman to be the official beach girl. Who was it?
Annette Funicello.
No.
Okay.
That'd be a good guess.
So does this person have some connection with the band?
Yes.
Like she was married to one of the members or something like
something
that?
Something kind of like that.
Or a girlfriend of...
It's something like that.
What about a daughter?
But she's famous enough on her own. She's not a pretend performer.
So what about a daughter of a Beach Boy?
No. So Carrie Wilson, who's Brian's daughter, is not an official Beach Girl.
Carney.
This is someone who had something of a career.
Debbie suggested Sandra Dee.
That's kind of like the Annette Funicello guess. Not Sandra Dee.
All right.
So this person had a legitimate recording career. And because of her connection through her spouse, who played with the Beach Boys, they made her an official beach girl.
Oh.
Shelley Fabre.
Another. She had a singing career. Oh, that's
Rebecca
good.
Romaine Stamos.
No. So how far back does this go? 60s?
You know, I'm going to say not the 60s. I'm going to go to the 70s on this one.
Oh. All right.
That would be my guess for person had some fame.
Is that... I'm sorry, I'm not all that familiar. Is that post Brian Wilson?
Yeah,
Beach
that's
Boys
post
then?
big time for the Beach Boys, mostly.
Yes, but almost every Brian Wilson did not tour and play with the group for as long as we think. So lots of what we think of, he remained with the group and was in and out. For all I know, the Beach Girl played. He went to the studio a lot, played with him and. Her husband toured with the band, and he's known too.
All right.
So it's not a Wilson. It's not one of the relatives.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody out there will know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe Jan and Dean related.
It could be. It's not, but that's getting kind of close. Yeah. Okay. You'll know the group this person was in.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. This is Janice from San Francisco.
Hi.
Hello. I have a couple of answers.
Okay.
Nobel Prize for Literature,
yes.
British, is one of them Ishiguro?
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
not
I'm sorry.
Remains of the Day. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Well, they don't give it for a book. They give it for an author, and I'm not sure if Ishiguro
you're
would
right.
be British.
Well, he's a British citizen.
These are people.
He is British. Yeah, that's why I was thinking maybe you were being tricky.
I'm not being tricky.
That one.
Right. Yeah. Was he born in Britain?
I'm not sure.
I think
about.
Not, but I'm not sure. But and yeah, so he's not on the list.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well. Okay. So then, I think though the Dune song is Weapon of Choice.
Yes.
Oh, very good.
And who directed the video?
Yeah. Do you know who directed it?
Spike Jonze.
Yes. And what did Spike Jonze win his Oscar for? Do you know?
Oh.
It's pretty recently.
It is pretty recent. Oh my God, I know it, but I'm not going to be able to pull it out.
Is he being John Malkovich?
He was nominated. That's not what he won for. He actually won for screenplay.
Oh.
He was nominated for three things for this movie, one for screenplay, lost direction, and song.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it was just a couple years.
Because it was after he split with...
Sophia.
Oh, my gosh.
But did she get her bell for Weapon of Choice in Spike Jonze? Yeah.
Thank you.
And who sang Weapon of Choice?
That's Fatboy Slim.
Of course.
Yeah.
It was on the tip of my tongue.
Okay.
Oh.
I partially asked this question because I feel like it might even be a music video that Dana has seen. Like, I feel that.
Oh, you mean the one with Christopher Walken?
See? Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
You know Dana's seen all the Christopher Walken rock videos.
It just seems like...
That's the only one.
If there's one video in the world that he has seen, it would be Christopher Walken flying around in Weapon of Choice.
Right. Dancing in the hotel lobby.
Yes.
And, I'm sorry, was there any other questions? That's it?
No, that's it.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Let me give you a question. So, I have a list of the 100 most commonly taught poems in the United States in school. So, what I'm going to do is give you five titles of poems, and you may knock these off very quickly, I don't know. And then tell me who the author is, okay? All right. Number one. Again, these are five titles from the 100 most commonly taught poems in the U.S. Number one, A Night Thought. A Night Thought. Number two, I Cannot Live Without You.
With.
I can't live with you. Really? I had it down as without you. Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
As I cannot
Professor of English.
That wasn't me, just so you know.
Okay. No, I appreciate that.
I don't correct the host.
Well, number three, A Dream Within a Dream.
These are titles?
These are titles of the poems. Or what they're best known by.
The 100 most taught poems?
The 100 most commonly taught poems in the United States.
Well,
A Dream Within a Dream is number three. Number four, Meeting at Night. And number five, Three Little Birds in a Row.
I think I'm going to have to claim Orlando High School for this question.
That's your high school? You're going to blame them?
So again, of the 100 most commonly taught...
They taught the other 95.
So again, of the 100 most commonly taught poems in the U.S., I'm giving you five titles, and I want you to tell me who the authors are. Number one, A Night Thought. Number two, I Cannot Live With You. Number three, A Dream Within a Dream. Number four, Meeting at Night. And number five, Three Little Birds in a Row. I'll give you each one guess.
I have taught none of these poems.
Oh, my goodness.
To my knowledge.
Emily Dickinson.
That's one of them.
Four.
That's
Three Little Birds in a Row.
No.
Ah.
I Cannot Live With You.
That's correct.
Yeah. Gosh darn it.
That bell's for both of you.
Thank you. Okay. It was tag team effort.
Yes.
Between
all right.
us, we know one poem.
Yes. Sue, how many
say
of these
say
you know?
Another poet.
One and a half.
One and a half. Oh, okay. Oh, I feel better now about that. And since we are a little past halfway through the show, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira.
Can I take a stab at your Simpsons one again,
sure.
real quick?
Yeah.
Is it Dustin Hoffman?
Dustin Hoffman is the man.
Okay.
Yes.
As Sam Edick?
Yes.
Oh, that's
okay.
A Simpson voice?
That's
yes,
what he did
but
a
he did
voice.
Not do it credited as himself, but rather as Sam Edick.
Right.
Okay, so we have most of my Dune question done, but we still need to know for what movie Spike Jonze won his Oscar. And then I am also looking for the 11 countries represented in Epcot's World Showcase. We already have France, UK, and Japan. And then just for fun, if you want to try and name any of the ones that were supposed to be built and never were, you can name those too.
I am looking for the eight people born in Britain who won, or the eight British citizens who won the Nobel Prize. And we have Rudyard Kipling. We're looking for the other seven. We are looking for one letter that is in neither the Gaelic or the Welsh alphabet. We have Q, X, and Y, and we're looking for the person who has been designated as the only official beach girl.
All right, and let's see, what do I have? The first Academy Award-winning actor and actress to voice a character on The Simpsons. Dustin Hoffman as Kiragot is the first Academy Award-winning actor who was the first Academy Award-winning actress to voice a character on The Simpsons. I gave you some people who are convicted of treason, and I want you to tell me the name they are better known by. The ones we have left are William Joyce, J-O-Y-C-E, and Mildred Gillars, G-I-L-L-A-R-S. We did have Eva Toguri Dakino, who turned out to be Tokyo Rose. So, I asked you to name the poet from five titles from the list of the 100 most commonly taught poems in the U.S., none of which Laurie has ever taught.
Well, I blame Orlando High School, too.
Do you?
Yes.
Seems like everybody went there. I didn't. And but truthfully, I think
Skylight High School.
That's right. Yeah. Truthfully, I think I've only read two of these. So my high school was only marginally better than yours, apparently. Anyway, the ones we have left are one, A Night Thought, A Dream Within a Dream, Meeting at Night, and Three Little Birds in a Row. I'm going to ask you, just throwing this last question because it pertains to an earlier question I asked. Who is the only president, this is another treason question, who is the only president to commit a public act of treason against the United States government? The only president to commit a public act of treason against the United States government.
Convicted of it?
So far.
This person was convicted of it?
Or no, this person was not convicted of it.
Is this sort of a trick question and it's like Jefferson Davis?
No.
Okay.
That's
no.
good.
He was never president of the
Well, United right. States.
This person had already been president.
Okay. Naturally.
And this is while they were president? Or?
This is after they were president. Mm-hmm. So who's the only president during their career, during their lifetime, to commit a public act of treason against the United States
and
government?
Did the person do it as a statement? Mm.
Like, yes.
Can you tell us what the action that did was?
No, that would give it away.
Okay.
Well, then I'll just guess Andrew Jackson because
he did
what
that.
A piece of crap that guy was.
Yeah.
No. Don't let your personal prejudice get in the way of these things. But no.
20th century?
That is, I'm sorry, Debbie's whispering in my ear that Lord Ha Ha is indeed one of the people convicted of treason. That's William Joyce. Lord Ha Ha was an Irishman, well, English and Irish, who broadcast for the Germans during World War II.
How about Mata Hari for Mildred Gillards?
Not Mata Hari.
Okay.
No. Mm-mm. And anyway.
And 20th century on the presidential act of treason?
It is not.
Okay.
20th century. And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
This is Kurt in San Francisco.
Hi, Kurt.
I have a little bit of etymology here. There's a term that I'd heard for years and I really didn't know where it came from. I associate it with sort of a creepy feeling, and that term is boojum, B-O-O-J-U-M, kind of associated with a something creepy, and so I finally looked it up, and so that's the term, and so I'm going to ask you a two-part question. The first part is, where did the term boojum first appear, and what did it initially mean? So that's the first question.
Is that meant to be one word, boojum? It's not two words put together, is it?
No, it's just one word, B-O-O-J-U-M.
Okay.
When you say where, do you mean like a country?
No, it was created. It first appeared in a work of literature. What was that work of literature? Where was it? And what did it initially mean?
I mean, if it's a weird word in literature, I'm just going to go ahead and guess Joyce.
That's a good guess.
No, but you wouldn't be too far off, and so keep going with weird literature.
Oh,
so is it Lewis Carroll?
There you go.
Okay. Oh, very good.
You want to take a shot at where in Lewis Carroll it might have appeared?
Is it in one of the Alice books, or is it in something beyond that?
Beyond that.
Okay. The Hunting of the Snark?
There you go.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Give us some bells. Good.
All right.
All right. That was worth a bell. And do you have any idea where in The Hunting of the Snark?
No, it's been too long since I've read that.
It's kind of one of his more obscure pieces, but...
It's not one of the 100 most taught poems, by the way.
No, it's definitely
not. 101st.
And the snark, the boojum appeared basically at the very end. The boojum was a type of snark, and it was never really defined, and it was not pictured in one of the illustrations, but it was merely referred to as something that softly and suddenly causes one to vanish away.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
It was given to be something very particularly dangerous. And that was in 1876 that Lewis Carroll first created the boojum. So that was the first question. So the second question is, in the nearly 150 years since then, that term has become appropriated and is morphed into other usages. And can you give me other usages, other types of boojum? And here I'm looking for things that are more or less lowercase nouns. I'm not looking for, I mean, there's a type of boojum beer, and there's a boojum burrito chain, and there's a boojum Wilson was a famous baseball player, I guess, 100 years ago. But can you name any other types of boojum? That's my question.
Was it used in any sense, like you know, you don't want to come across a boojum, or I mean, is it?
Yeah, and my initial feeling about something creepy was not just related to the Lewis Carroll poem, which I had never read, but there is a creepy sense of the term boojum. So perhaps that might ring a bell. Anyone heard of that?
I haven't.
I have not. I have to be honest.
Nobody
should leave it out there. Or should we?
Well, I may. I apparently this is pretty obscure. But the sense that I first heard of it in North Carolina, apparently they have a local version of the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch, and the boojum is apparently about 8 feet tall and hairy, and lives in the woods, has a fondness for pretty girls and precious gems.
Kaczynski for one.
Yeah, so he's the local Sasquatch. And it's tied in with the term hootenanny comes out of that legend.
Wow.
So that term somehow became so that's the boojum in North Carolina.
All right.
So all the things that the term boojum has become applied to all kind of relate back to Lewis Carroll's original idea of the boojum. Mm. So then there in Mexico, there's something called the boojum tree, and it's tall and spindly and it's thorny. And it's creepy looking, so that kind of ties in with the creepy, grotesque idea of the boojum.
Right.
Okay. And then, in all places in physics, in the superfluidity of in physics of superfluidity, when you cool helium to almost absolute zero, it becomes a superconductor.
Speak for
it
yourself.
Offers no resistance, no resistance to electricity whatsoever, except under certain conditions, a geometric pattern forms on the surface of the helium, and all of a sudden, it no longer conducts anymore. And that pattern is referred to by physicists as a boojum, because it softly and subtly causes the superconductivity to vanish away.
This is a PhD thesis if ever I heard one.
Really?
Premise for one, anyway.
And this is a Cornell physicist who gave it this name, and it's now an accepted physical physicist term.
Right.
That's what a boojum is, and it's an accepted physics term.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
And?
Oops.
And there's
wait,
one
there's
more?
More?
Even weird. There's one more that's even weirder. And this is courtesy of the U.S. military. In the years right after World War II, there's something called the SSMA5 boojum and the SSA5 snark. And this was a supersonic cruise missile designed to develop to deliver a nuclear missile. And it was around for about 5 years. And it was finally discontinued and canceled because there were technical problems. But I just think that this is just somehow wonderful that somewhere in the U.S. military, someone had gave it this name, the Snark and the Boojum. And they gave it this name, and there it was for 5 years, and it softly vanished away.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
There you go.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Kurt.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're every Sunday at 7 p.m. We appreciate information like that. And because you can't get anyplace else, can you?
I don't think so.
No. There you go. And let's see. I'm trying to remember where I was here, but I think it's Kira. It's your turn.
Real quick on those Welsh letters, we had Q, Z, and X, and you mentioned Y when you were reading it back. Did you give away your fourth letter?
I did not.
Oh, okay. So it's not Y.
It's not Y.
Okay.
Y's in both alphabets. Oh, no, yeah, sorry. Y's in the Welsh alphabet.
Right. Okay.
They use a lot of Y's in the Welsh alphabet.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I will not guess Y since.
On your countries, let's get a few of those. How about Brazil? I'm only looking for the ones that exist.
Yeah, we'll just do the ones that exist. Okay. So the ones that exist, no, not Brazil.
Okay. Spain?
Nope.
Okay.
How about India?
Nope.
China?
Yes. All right. China is on there.
China.
Italy?
Yeah, also on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good.
Germany?
Yep.
All right. I can retire now.
All right. I thought you did.
So I can ask another question for you, or to you. I will ask you another question. Let's word it like that. That you will think... seems impossible, but it's not actually. So when you're online, you go to a URL and you get a 404 error. It means that the page can't be found or doesn't exist. And if you get a 408, it means you've been timed out of the page. And 403, we won't go into that. Anyway, what three-digit area... Sorry.
What three-digit error code,
which is a variant of the 403 error code, do you get when a web page has been blocked by the government?
No.
Again, I can tell this. Who knows?
I'm not. Hmm? I don't know this.
Well, you must get these all the, you must get these all the time.
I probably do.
You should let them
stew. I've gotten the 404. So assuming, would it be wrong to assume it's a 40-something?
Isn't that the one that goes from Bakersfield to Lodi?
It is within the 400 series of error codes.
there's a series?
Yeah, there are.
All I've gotten is the... Okay, I got to go with 407.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Not 407.
Well, guess something.
411.
No, that's closer. I mean, that's,
is it?
Well, sort of. Well, I guess it is closer. It seems impossible, but then once you get it, you'll be like, of course.
So it makes sense. I mean, there's some connection between those two.
I would never ask you a question that doesn't make sense.
Wait, when we hear this number, we're going to say, that? The government will pick that one.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes, you will.
All right. Okay. So is it the FCC that picked out this number?
No, not the FCC.
All right. Okay.
So any 400 numbers have meaning. 411, it does.
Yeah, kind of.
444.
Nope.
Okay.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, this is Richard in Sunnyvale.
Hi, Richard.
I have another Nobel Prize question.
Yes.
This is for the 1976 prize in physics. One of the two recipients of that prize died in the Bay Area just this past week. So the question would be, what was that person's name and affiliation? Ooh. And I can give it offline if you want.
Oh. Hmm. Gosh, I should know
this. American?
We should have read this, shouldn't we?
It was for the Psi particle, a subatomic particle.
And was this an American scientist?
An American, well, yes, American-born scientist. The other person was a Asian scientist working in the U.S. One on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, doing separate experiments that together prove the existence of the Psi particle.
This is the first time we've had two callers in a row with physics questions,
yes.
By the way.
I'd like to do this justice, but I'm ashamed to say I don't know.
I didn't see anything in the paper, and I don't know.
I saw the obituary in a local paper.
Oh gosh. I'm sorry, we don't know.
Should I say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was Burton Richter, R-I-C-H-T-E-R, and he was at the Stanford Linear Accelerator Center.
Okay. Well, I
think
I appreciate you actually bringing it to our attention, because I'm sorry, I didn't even see that. So
yeah, the other person was, I think it was Samuel C.C. Ting, and he was at MIT, but he did the work at the Bateman Lab on Long Island.
Thank you very much.
Okay, goodbye. Right.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in the far south of California.
You move around a lot, I know.
I do. I got to stay one step ahead of you guys.
I know.
Let's see. The voice character, voice actor on The Simpsons, is it the woman, is it Kathleen Turner?
It is not, Kat. That's a good guess. Kathleen Turner, no, it's not her.
Shoot. The presidential act of treason, I believe, was John Tyler.
It was John Tyler. Oh. He became a member of the Confederate Congress.
Oh.
And but he died just before actually taking the office of in the Confederate Congress. But that was an act of treason, yes.
Hey, you know, I'll take a shot at some of the poetry names. And these are guesses. How about A Night Thought? Is that Wallace Stevens?
It is not. No.
No. A Dream Within a Dream, Langston Hughes?
It is not.
Nope. Three Little Birds in a Row, William Carlos Williams.
No. A little older. Then most of these are probably a little older than what you're scanning.
Oh, shoot. Well, I'm not old enough to remember before that.
You went to Orlando High School, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh, I was expelled from Orlando. Worse. Beach Girl, how about Tennille?
That's it. The captain and Tennille.
Wow. All right.
So the captain was their keyboardist on and off, toured with them, and
good
she
job.
Sang with them sometimes, and they made Tony Tennille an honorary beach girl. Very good.
And you know, of course, who her father was.
Tony Tennille's father, I don't know.
I was going to say Carmen Dragon's father, but that's not Tony Tennille's father.
No, I believe it is, isn't it?
Carmen Dragon was
the captain's father. That's
the captain's father.
Right. Yeah.
That was her father-in-law.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Father-in-law.
Yeah.
Right.
All close enough.
And let's see. The Nobel list, I believe somebody said Ishiguro, correct?
Yes, but that's not correct.
He's definitely a UK Nobel literature winner.
Well, I think he did win.
Yeah, I think all these people were born in Britain, and I think he wasn't.
Okay. Well,
I think he was born in Japan.
Well, then I stand corrected.
Like four or five, and all of his novels are.
Okay.
You know,
and for the earlier person,
there's nine of them.
All right.
But I'll guess. How about Churchill?
Yes, Winston Churchill. All right. For literature, surprise me. Yeah. Keep going.
Literature, yeah. Huxley.
No.
Golding, William Golding.
Yes, for Lord of the Flies author. Very good.
Yes.
Yeah, and Doris Lessing.
Yes, very good. Oh, you're getting these.
Just win, and I'll cut it off there.
Okay.
And Spike Jones won his Oscar for writing Her, I believe.
That is correct.
Nice.
And I'll take a guess of some of the Epcot countries. How about Australia?
Nope.
Egypt?
Nope.
Greece?
No.
Switzerland?
Nope.
Switzerland, I'm surprised.
Well, that was on the intended list.
Oh.
They were going to have a Matterhorn.
Of course.
Matterhorn, that would be a good idea for a rollercoaster.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
Nobody ever thought of that.
Called Disney.
And who wrote Trainspotting?
Irvine Welsh, thank you.
Very good.
Yeah.
Not in the Scottish Museum.
No.
Right. I missed the area code. I have no idea what you're asking.
Not an area code. It's error. ERROR. An error code, like when you go to...
It sounds like an error code, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you go to a URL and you try to type
in... Oh, yeah. That 404?
Yeah, it's not 404.
Oh, not 451.
That's exactly right.
Oh.
As in Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Good job on that.
And I'll ask, I just heard this week, what country has the lowest fertility rate?
Vatican City.
Very good.
Very.
That's not
good.
It. Huh?
How about that large country? And let's say not large country, but yeah, I guess.
Japan?
I know Japan has a very low.
UN country. Yeah. It's not Japan.
Well, let's see. Ours is dropping pretty drastically.
How about China?
No. Not close. Lowest fertility, right?
And you mean children per capita, right? That's what you mean by fertility rate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it Northern European?
It is neither.
Okay.
Well, it is not Northern European.
Or European.
Okay.
You better tell us.
I suppose it's South Korea.
Okay.
Because, yeah, apparently they're making them work too hard and not enough time for a little loving. So, adios. Great
Thank
show.
You. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Martin and Maddie on vacation in South Boonton, Connecticut.
All right. Yeah.
Welsh and Gaelic alphabets, do they not have a letter V?
No, one of them does have the letter V. Is that correct? Let me see there.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
All right, how about...
Go ahead.
All right, how about the letter K?
That's correct. That's right, the fourth one. Very good.
All right, and I was going to say the code for government error, how about 666, but that's another thing.
Yeah.
And, that's it. We're done.
All right. Thanks.
Have a good vacation.
We'll be back next week.
All right. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi. Well, I just am going to fill out some of the Brit Nobel Prize winners. Bertrand Russell.
Yes. Another writer of not literature in my mind, but that's very good.
Yeah. And then I figure T.S. Eliot.
Yes, he's on the list.
Oh, and Shaw.
Shaw's not on the list.
Oh, Shaw, no.
But he should be, shouldn't he?
Then when
he's
was,
Irish. Yeah, Irish.
When I was hanging on the phone here, I remembered Harold Pinter.
Yes, very good.
Very good.
Very good. Okay, there's one left.
And that I don't know. So, very quick question. What is nomophobia? N-O-M-O-phobia.
Anybody?
It's not medical, but according to Harper's Index, there have been 55 scientific papers written about it.
I don't know.
We don't know. We're almost out of time, so you better tell us.
It's the irrational fear of being without cell phone service.
And
apparently it's a
wouldn't
thing.
Wouldn't bother me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Our audience points out that T.S. Eliot was not born in Britain. He was born in the United
States. That's right.
So if he counts, then Ishiguro counts.
Anyway, we are coming to the end of the program. We're going to answer any questions that haven't been answered yet. And Kira, go first.
Oh, real quick. Is Three Little Birds in a Row maybe E.E. Cummings?
It is not.
Okay. And A Night Thought, is that Sandberg?
It is not.
Okay. In that case, all I have left are the rest of the 11 countries from Epcot's World Showcase, and that is Mexico, Norway, USA, Morocco, and Canada.
All right. Lori?
The one missing Nobel Prize winner who's British is John Galsworthy, who was the author of the Forsyth Saga and other things like it.
The only person convicted of treason nobody got, Mildred Gillers, that was Axis Sally.
Oh.
Axis Sally. She was an American who broadcast in Germany during World War II. The first Academy Award-winning actress to do a voice on The Simpsons was Cloris Leachman.
Huh.
And the poems are that nobody was taught in high school. A Night Thought is William Wordsworth. A Dream Within a Dream is Poe. A Meeting at Night is Robert Browning. And Three Little Birds in a Row, Stephen Crane. If I didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My great thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, semi-retired professor at Davo Valley College, Lori Fisher. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody, and please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.